Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
I think it's more so if someone can relate to young people, you know that you can relate to people and you know that you can, you want to affect some kind of change, actually get out there. Because everyone will sit behind the computer screen, try and get a degree, which is fine, it's admirable. You go read a book and do all that kind of stuff, which is great, but there are people out there that need you. Actually go out to where the action is and just try and start a conversation. Like, that's honestly how we started this.
Hi, welcome to Blacktickulate, a podcast series featuring UK young black professionals, where we find out how they do what they do, so you can too. Or not. After all, it is your life. Now, my man, Sion. Am I saying that right?
Yep.
Sion.
Yes, you are. Yes.
Welcome to Blacktickulate, G.
Good to be here, man. Good to be here.
Sion, I don't even know your surname. In fact, you know what? Tell the powers that be, and those are my listeners, those are my bosses.
Yeah.
Let them know who you are and what you do, and we'll just, you know, we'll chop it up from there.
All right. Well, what's going on, people? My name's Sion Martins. I am a founder and a mentor at Bridge the Gap Studios. It's a business that I run along with two other amazing guys. We
name
work.
Drop.
I'll name them all. I'm gonna name a lot of people. one of the other guys, Jonathan, and the other dude's Dennis. We all work together. We've kind of been long time friends, and we've been working in drama music for a while.
Drama music.
Okay. And we've always worked with young people, but we've decided to kind of take it further a while ago. And those are the main guys, and we've been at this, we're coming up on our third year of being public with it, been doing it for quite a while behind the scenes. Been seeing like a lot of growth, working with a lot of young people in like South, particularly, so Peckham, Brixton, Rotherhithe, and recently Turnham. Okay. We've been doing a massive project there, which just finished.
Can I pause you for a second? Sure. Only reason being is because, wait a minute. Like, Bridge the Gap, right?
Yes,
studios,
sir.
Sorry. Can't forget the studios part.
Can't forget studios.
Because Bridge the Gap is something totally different.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So, Bridge the Gap Studios. What, I mean, in a nutshell, in a pithy way, what is it?
Bridge the Gap Studios is a link between where a young person is and where they want to be.
Right. Gotcha.
That's what we do. And two of the biggest forms we use are, well, actually, the biggest form we use is the creative arts, because that always, I feel like that gets overlooked a lot of the time in education. And it's one of the biggest ways to learn how to express yourself and just learn about yourself, even if you don't want to be an artist or an actor. But just using those forums, it's incredible the ways that can be utilized. So we use drama music, yes, but our main thing is wherever a young person wants to be, whatever their goals are, and we are there to be that bridge.
Okay, so I will get into the nuances of specifically how you help, but let's park for a second. Let's figure out the man behind this.
Wow.
Sion Martins.
Okay.
Tell me, I mean, growing up, like, let's join the dots. How do you find yourself in this position?
What, doing this or just where I am right now?
Yeah, I mean, insofar as like your upbringing.
Yeah. Originally grew up in South.
Right.
And that's where my dad was.
Okay.
And there was quite a few. I mean, there's been quite a few negative influences that I've just seen personally growing up. But for the most part, I was actually surrounded by positive influences. I just chose not to gravitate towards them.
Okay.
As you
need to explain.
Do you know what I mean? Like you, I know, I get you. You would just have a, so it was a mixed pot for me. We were in Brixton, so it was a mixed pot.
Okay,
so
you lived in Brixton.
So you would have a lot of negative influences, of course. but good half of my family were based in church.
Okay.
And that actually did, if you're talking about championing theatre or performing arts or creativity, a lot of that actually came from church. Crazy enough, that's really where it came from. A lot of the times I would try to be away from that because I was growing up around, you know, around my father, around some of the influences that he was bringing to the table.
Okay.
Which,
Do you want to elaborate if you don't mind sharing?
No, definitely. I mean, which weren't all amazing. My dad had his hand in a lot of different pies, and not all of those were the most government approved pies, if that makes sense. He was involved with that stuff, and there was a lot of people that were around him that were involved with that. Thankfully, I had a mum that slapped me upside the head and got me out of there in time, which I'm always grateful for.
Do you mind me asking, are your parents, were they together then?
No. So I'm actually...
But you were living with your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
So and your mum didn't like what she saw, then the behaviours you were sort of putting, and she was like, nah, you're coming with me.
And that's, so I mean, it happened in teens, but I'm the product of a single parent home, but I never felt like it was just us. Like, I had so many, when I obviously came out of that environment, I had so many positive male role models.
Right.
That just came around me. Right. And
once even, you were outside, once I was your outside dad's that.
Because either way, I had male role models.
Right.
Regardless. Right. But positive male role models, positive black male role models. Not even just black, like from everywhere. Like, I just had positive male role models there. And in that space, there was a lot of re-education.
Okay.
Because from where I had come from, I had several ideas about money, about women, about what success is, that I had just seen that were way off.
Right.
And that I had to unlearn that.
Such as?
Well, ideas about money, that was always a tough one to shake. Because one of the things that I had learned from my dad was, get money however you can. And obviously, my dad had a lot of different money-making ways, but he was a salesman. He taught us, you get your money however you can. And I think that was the problem. It was however you can. No matter who you have to climb over, you do that.
Right.
And you maintain it. Once you gain and maintain, you stack and you keep your money. You keep it building. That's what he meant, kind of like maintain. Okay, and
I think that's what I was struggling with, if I'm going to be honest with you. When you say maintain, was he like, you need to invest in certain stocks?
He did.
Oh,
He invested. He invested his money. Like,
so that's good money practice. No, exactly.
So, you learn that, right? You learn the good side, but the problem with
is how he was getting it.
Yeah, I think
the problem. Others, yeah, however you can.
Right.
Right. But once you have it, actually, the principles behind that. It's
great
were,
principles.
Okay, gotcha.
But for a young person watching that, you don't really pick up on the, so that's what you. That's what
you're
that
not looking
means.
At the long term.
That's
a, always
no, I'm looking
term.
At this is what you're doing. These are the people that you have around you. This is what they're doing. Because this whole, like, and I think that there's an idea that some parents have where they tell their kids, do what I say, not what I do. I don't believe that works. I think it works to an extent. A young person, a child will hear what their parents say, and a parent might say, listen, don't do this. A child, all right, cool, I won't do it. But then if I'm growing up and I'm watching you do the same things that you're telling me not to do, at some point I'm going to stop listening to what you say. Yeah. And even subconsciously, I will just start to mimic you, what you're doing. So
it's funny because there's actual joke that goes something along the lines where a teacher called in a parent and said, your son's been stealing, you know, pens at the school, and that's why we give him a detention. And the parent, but I think it was dad in this context, right, took the boy home, his son home, and goes, how dare you steal, right? If you wanted pens, why didn't you let me know? I'd have got some from the office.
Yeah, all right, I got
that's
you.
That's a rubbish
joke. No,
track,
you know no, I got
but
you.
It echoes. That was poor, wasn't it? Sorry, my bad. Wow. Might have to cut that out, man.
That's staying in. That joke is staying there. But no, I get it.
And I think you need to judge a person on their actions and not their words.
Most definitely.
Because it's really easy to...
Most definitely.
I know it's ironic since I'm called Blacktaculate, but the truth of the matter is, you know, words are one thing, but it's actually all about the actions, and that's why we're about positive actions. So, you are growing up with your dad and, you know, the influences weren't positive. So, your mother, early teens, decided, you know what, I don't like the man you're becoming, so come stay with me and let's actually try and re-educate you.
Yeah.
Right? within that, like, what were you studying? What were you learning? There's got to have been something that you thought, oh, you know what, actually, I want to help others, because that's fundamentally what your business does.
Right, that's the biggest thing. And I think at that age, it wasn't really, I wasn't saying that, like, you know what, this is what I want to do. This one. I mean, when I was growing up, I wanted to play ball.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to play basketball.
Oh, basketball?
Basketball, no, yeah. Not football. So that's the thing. Like, everyone be like, oh, what fuck? Why are you not? But then we got a lot of family, or like friends that we call family in America. And so there was some heavy influences there as well.
And you're quite tall as well, aren't you?
And that was the whole thing. Like, when I started actually growing, it's like, hey, you should play ball. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, how tall are you?
Right now I'm 6'4" and I'm done. See? This is me. I'm done, man. I'm
peaked.
I'm done. It's over.
Don't worry, ladies. I'll take a picture. Don't worry.
Wow.
Hey, at him. Listen,
his missus won't be happy about that. Hey, you can
he's
speak
fine
to
fine boy. No pimples. Ah,
look, you guys have seen this guy. Before all of this hype starts coming
don't
my way.
Don't worry about that. But yes.
But no, that's what I originally wanted to get into. Like, growing up, I was, you know, athletic. I was going towards sports, but I also enjoyed reading.
Okay.
And this kind of put me at a, it made it weird, because you can't be out here. It was strange, because you can't have, not that I had, there was a reputation, but my family had one. And so you got this bookworm over here that has a ridiculous temper and doesn't want to be in school.
Right.
But I love to read. So You would catch me in the library. I'd be out, or I'd be out with a book in my bag, along with other things. But I would have a book.
What were you reading? Do you remember? Wow. Fiction, non-fiction?
Yeah, no, it was fiction. I just enjoyed.
What was that about reading?
Worlds. Yeah. I enjoyed the fact that a whole new world could be created, and I could imagine it myself. Mm. I didn't necessarily like watching stuff, but at the same time, reading was just. It allowed me to use my imagination in a different way. Like, I could, whatever's on that page, it would just leap out at me.
I'm with you.
And I think that's one of the biggest pushes for me to get into drama. Because just being able to take something and create it, and then now my imagination, you're coming down to have a look at almost that reader's feeling, trying to create that for an audience. So it got me into script writing. And then working with young people that actually wanted the same kind of thing. They want people to see what they see.
Sion, you've absolutely jumped there. And I need to...
But that's not... So you can make the connection.
Yeah, we're trying to join those dots proper. Every single dot.
That's
so
what
my man, I'm listening to you. So right now, you know, currently, you wanted to be a basketball player because you had influences from family, mm-hmm. right? However, you also loved reading. So you're like, I've got this bad temper. Athletics helps me unleash that possibly.
Yeah.
Right? But also, you catch him in the library reading.
Mm.
And the reason I'm reading is because I love being able to go into other people's worlds.
Right.
And you love that idea. The imagination's really been sort of developed, your imagination chops.
Yeah.
So then you started writing. Am I right in saying
yeah.
that?
Yeah, no, yeah, and yeah, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, you started writing scripts, so you started finding...
Well, no, not scripts.
See?
No,
see that job?
There's a couple of dots out of it, but yeah.
There you go.
I started writing poems.
Ah.
So I actually got into music.
This is at school as well, or outside?
This is during school now, because So I was doing music when I was with my dad, because that's one thing I can tell you I got from him.
Okay, gotcha.
I got it. Well, two things. I've got a couple things, but the main things I got from him is his love for music,
right,
and his temper.
Okay.
But the main thing was his love for music, and I think the temper tempered itself out, thank God. But as far as the music goes, like, my dad had a ridiculous vinyl collection. That was the biggest thing. So I grew up listening to all kinds of sounds.
Right.
And of course, I enjoyed my reading, but it was natural that was going to happen.
Right.
I loved music. That was my escape as well. So started writing poetry, progression, got into writing lyrics. Got into writing lyrics for other people. This was in school.
Okay.
This was in school. So I was writing lyrics for other people.
What? People came up to you and said...
Not in this whole like singer-songwriter.
Yeah. Bit.
No, I'm just talking school level.
Right.
You would just write for people. Yeah, you just write for people. That was it. Or like, not in school.
I went to school. I went just writing for people. People had to recognize the talent within me to say, yo, do you mind writing me a few bars? Is that what happened?
That's basically what that was. And that was outside. That was like in Brixton. So that was in South. And then when I moved over and I was going to school in West, so I finished
this
up
is where
school.
Your mum was.
Yeah, I was finished up school in West London. And I was writing, doing my own songs, grime, studios.
Right.
You would do that. Like, and just a little studio in school. Music teacher would let you stay a little bit back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, with you.
And you would put something together and you would go out and put it on your phone and be like, yeah.
Yeah, bang it.
Like
bang
I'm this guy or whatever.
Hard.
But it was a thing. So yeah. I came over from South to West completely blank slate.
Right.
And what I had going for me was music.
Okay.
Music and sport. And that
helped you focus and just kept on developed yourself. Okay, that's interesting because in this narrative and your story, and I think you guys can agree with me, those that's listening, you're really an impressive guy, to say the least.
Oh, I appreciate that.
No, you really are. But you keep mentioning something about temper. And those of you who are regular listeners know that I tend to just sort of get conversation prompts for my guests. And there was a part where you said you realized the first time you realized you were black was when someone called you a nigger in school.
Right.
Now, I'm curious to know how you reacted to that, because now that you say you've got a temper, tell me more about that.
Okay, well, I think when you say you realized you were black, it's not so much realized that I was black, because you know that you're a different color and you look around, you see people, all right, cool, you're black. That's a white person. That's someone who's of Asian descent. You put it together. But I think the reason I lean to that scenario is because that's the time when I realized people respond to you differently. And then while I was still over here, I watched Roots.
Okay, wow. Okay.
Yeah, now...
How old were you?
I shouldn't have watched that. But you know what? To be fair, it's not even I shouldn't have watched that. It was good that I watched it,
right.
But of course, in my young mind, I took it to the furthest extent. Like, this is what's going on. Like, and obviously, when you're young, you don't really watch things in context.
No.
So I watched Roots, specifically 1 to 4. So I didn't even get to the whole Next Generation stuff. I was here with my man like Kunta and them trying to make him call himself Toby. So that's where I'm at. So I had seen it and I go into school and I had mentioned it. And then in the playground, obviously I think some of the other kids might have known about Roots or whatever. Because when I was talking about it, I'm a very passionate person.
Yeah.
10 times that back then, obviously from the little I can remember. And when I explained it, obviously the passion must have been there. And in the playground, one of the white kids has yelled out, yeah. Yeah, you saw Roots. Like, yeah, I saw you. He's like, yeah. And you guys were niggers. And of course, now I'm woke, quote unquote, because I had no idea what. Do you know what I mean? Like, I had no idea that word could be bad. I had heard it, right? But I had no idea. I didn't know that word could be bad until I'd seen the context it's being used in Roots. But again, there's so much that I don't know, but all I know is that you're using a word that you shouldn't be using unless you're trying to attack me.
Right.
And so I went off.
Okay.
Right. And obviously I attacked that person and then when my mom, my dad, everyone going, when they were like, hey, what happened? I explained to them, this is what was said to me. Two things happened.
Yeah, please.
My dad was fine with it.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk,
Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
And then my mum gave me a bit more of an education on, look, you know what? A, you're not going to be watching those no more. And B, there is more to you than just a word. And she actually really broke it down a bit more for me. Of course, I didn't buy it because dad's with it.
Yeah,
so we're good.
You're living with your pups.
But,
right?
But that was
an awakening.
Yeah. For the fact that people can respond to you differently or try to put you down because of your color.
Yeah.
That was new.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
So I guess based off of that, like when you moved all the way forward into where we currently have you, which is being one of the co-founders of Bridge That Gap Studios, you deal with a lot of people who are obviously looking to actualize their careers, their dreams, their goals, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But you do that with the underrepresented community mainly, or are you not specific?
Yeah, it's not, but of course with where we work, the areas we work, we are more than likely going to work with underrepresented areas of the community.
Right.
But we made it, because everyone's got goals. I believe every young person has goals because they're the future.
Yeah.
Depending on whether those goals are accepted, it's a different thing, but every young person has goals.
What do you mean?
When I say accepted, I mean like maybe accepted by their peer group, their parents, their particular area, right?
Their influences, I guess.
But they have goals, and it's a matter of, okay, understanding what those goals are and how to actualize them, regardless of where they come from. I just have a burden for self. Right. And a lot of the guys that, basically all the guys I've been involved with, all people that we brought on, a lot of them have a burden for self. We want to expand. We want to be all over London. But this is where we started. Because we're grassroots. Yeah. We start from there and we build out.
So let's talk about this. You being grassroots, and obviously you're 3 years in the making. And I guess in business context, you're starting to just get out of your baby clothes. Yeah. So how did you start? How did you put the team together?
Would it be crazy if I said we started from church?
Okay, no, of course not.
So myself, Jonathan, Dennis, that's where we built it from.
Right.
We were all into drama. And at the time, I was just going into uni. I was starting to become more self-aware, aware of how I'd grown up, aware of the disadvantages, aware of what had not been available to me, and wanting to change that in some way.
Right.
Or just make some kind of change. And a lot of that had come from now being around guys that wanted to make change.
Positive
and
there was
a lot more positive influences, and that's where I was going now. It wasn't more so just about money. Of course, that's important. It was money, but it also was change.
And so
I started to look into that. I started looking into drama therapy, because then while I was in church, they were doing drama.
Right, gotcha.
And so
what church? I mean,
this is Potter's House. They're still about. They're based up in Elephant now. Elephant. In fact, they're not too far from here. They're Globe Academy.
Hey, don't expose where I'm at, man. Don't expose where I'm at. Not too far from here. The fan base don't know where I'm at yet.
Hey, listen, hang on. Let me just put his address out here real quick.
Yeah.
All right, so that's where the church is based
right
now, but back then, obviously.
And church is, I mean, for all whatever you guys might think about it, it does have its positives from particularly the social community.
Yeah, it does. Base.
So you and your co-founders were going to it as regularly as you possibly were.
Yeah.
You were starting to think, okay, I want to actually affect, you know, in a positive way, the community around me.
Right.
Right. And this is what you were doing. You were enjoying dramas and theatre.
Yeah.
And likewise with your co-founders.
Yeah. All of us. Okay.
So then give me the birth of the name and what your first client looked like.
Wow. Okay. Well,
if you can remember.
Well, no, I can, because we started working, a lot of the young people that we were actually working with in the church, some of them were coming from Brixton, and there was this major community center that was there at the time.
Couldn't have been any older than 17, 18?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were basically working with people that were like, with young people that were like 13 to 15.
Oh, really? Wow.
Some of them even our age.
Okay.
And there was bases in Brixton, there was a church in Brixton that a lot of them were coming from as well.
Right.
And so that actually became one of our clients, because we made some plays for them and then just made like little tutorials and teachings based off of the plays. I'm trying to remember what the play was, I can't remember the name of the play.
Can we find it online anyway?
Yes, you can find, actually it's on our website. It will be on our website. I can't for life remember the name of the play.
Yeah.
But bridgethegapstudios.com, check that.
Yeah,
but
guys.
That was, that's where we start. That's kind of where we started. We didn't have the name then, but we started there because we actually made our first program. That was our first program.
And where did the church buy it? I mean, how, what's the model of your business now, I guess?
Well, at the, well, then.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, then it was more, okay, we're going to deliver this for you because we want to help improve these aspirations for the young people, not just with their faith, but also with what they want to do with their lives, like where they want to go. Some of them were coming off the streets, and of course it was Brixton, so it was like, yeah, let's do this. So,
oh, so they didn't want to be in the arts themselves, the young people you're working with. You just used art as a vehicle.
It was a vehicle.
Okay.
That was, so a lot of it was more so about life aspirations.
So you had like almost counselling. So
yes, counselling, mentoring, therapy. Ah. And so that's what led me to start studying drama therapy, because then I realised, you know what, there's a lot more to this. Right. So that came later. But then the model was more so, they were actually paying for venue. They were paying for all of our overhead, everything that we needed, props, all of that. They said, okay, we'll cover it as long as you come and deliver a program.
Amazing.
And so that was like, wow, okay. We didn't want money. Do you know what I mean? We just wanted to do what we were doing. And we had freedom to do it. Then as we went along, we were doing that. We did it in Brixton. We did it in Rotherhithe. Came back to the church, did the same thing there.
You're starting to build a rep.
Right. And then after that, it was kind of a matter of, we need to put a name to this.
Yeah.
So that's when, and then I literally hit the guys up. I still have the WhatsApp voice note. I sent it out to them and I was like, yeah, let's get registered. What do you guys think? And it was like, silence. And then Jod was like, you know, and then like the next day, Jod was like, all right, so my phone died. But
yeah.
Then he sent a whole long message like, listen, this is what I want. This is what we should do. This is the ideas I've been having. It was just synergy. We were all on board. And then we said, all right, cool.
And this was 3 years ago.
Did the process. We got our name, like we got our name sorted.
Yeah.
But then,
why that name?
Because at that time, I was in uni, I believe at the time, but I was also working at a school. I was doing work experience at a school and I was mentoring. So there was a company called PIPS, Parents in Partnership. Headed by an amazing woman called Natasha Orumbi. She's absolutely amazing. She works in school. She had her own business, and she works in safeguarding for boroughs. So she's absolutely amazing.
Amazing.
But she kind of gave me my push into that side. So I was doing all this drama work, grassroots stuff. Then she was like, what about your career as well? So I'm studying law, but I'm working in the school. And I'm basically, to put it bluntly, I'm seeing a lot of pre-criminals within school. So I'm working in school and my job was just to mentor hard to reach kids. It was freelancing. They would give me a young person, I would work with them.
Yeah.
And I'm working with these young people. I'm like, all right, so what's the school doing for you? So I'll just talk to the school and the school would be like, look, they're not getting these grades and these grades. So I either work with them or they go. And I started realizing within a school setting, it was like you get a lot of young people that come from the same backgrounds that I did or a lot of these other guys. And all the school will do is say, okay, if you're not ticking this box, and this box, then go. Mm. So, okay, go where? And they're right back out. Some of these kids are selling in school. So I'm working in the school and I'm like, there's provisions and there's like, but these are people that are coming into the school that aren't even relating to the young person. I come into the school, I'm in uni, and they're seeing a turnaround straight away. Yeah. This is not to toot my own horn. This is just me saying, person that comes in and can relate to a young person, and you now are seeing this young person turn around and achieve way beyond what you, the box that you put that young person in. That's all it took.
That's all it takes.
Right? And then obviously they were asking about the techniques that I was using, and a lot of the techniques I was using were from what we were doing.
Right.
So like role plays, little dramas, little skits, like a bit of creative writing, all of that there. And I started thinking, this is what schools need. There's very few people that are actually bridging the gap. Mm-hmm. And that's where we got the name, because it was, because you will see people in like high areas of parliament, because at this time I'm studying law. So I'm actually researching this now, and I'm seeing you've got all these people talking about, we need to bring change.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking, okay, so who are they reaching out to that is on the ground actually doing it? None.
No one.
There's a lot of show. There's a lot of
lip
talk.
Service.
Then over here on the other side, grassroots, there's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of work.
That's
trying to bridge the gap. That's what the point was.
No, honestly, you're echoing everything that we are trying to accomplish and achieve, because we know that a lot of people learn better from those of us who were them once upon a time, you know? So, yeah, God. Okay, guys, I think you can, again, all agree with me. And if you don't agree with me, fight me. That's what I'm saying. Mr. Martins, you are phenomenal. So, we see where you got your first client. We see how you started, and we know and understand the service. What I always want to do is always want to try and get resources and tools that people who are listening can actually take away with.
Mm.
Now, I think what I asked you was, are there any essential resources that people might want or need, right?
Mm.
Coming from it from a business perspective, as opposed to necessarily coming through it as one of the youths, one of the people who need your service.
Okay. So someone who actually wants to get into...
Yeah, so someone who also wants to give back to the community. You know, someone who has not necessarily drama skills, but has other skills. What would be your best piece of advice, I guess, for them to do that?
So, well, you know what?
Does that make sense as a question?
It does. I think, well, all right, let me give you what I'm thinking and you please, tell me if I'm a bit off. Sure. Right. So the way I see it, you don't need, and this is with a balance, of course, but you don't need a degree or some major thing for you to start making change. Just one of the pieces of advice that I've actually picked up is there's so many avenues at your doorstep. The way we started originally was we were working with the young people we saw every day. Mm-hmm. So we were seeing young people that would be outside all the time. Just some of them, they would be sitting around. We know that they were doing a madness because we could smell it on them, right? They'll be all over. And we would just say, all right, cool, let's just go out and talk to them. Because we don't want them to end up in a newspaper a couple of weeks later. So we actually just went out and said, look, what are you guys doing? There's a building here. At the time it was the church. We've got this going on. We're doing this music thing. We're putting together this concert. We're putting, just come true. And we'll put something on for them. Mm. And that was it. That was literally our youth work. And it worked. Like, do you know what I mean? So I think it's more so, if someone can relate to young people, you know that you can relate to people and you know that you can, you want to affect some kind of change, like actually get out there, because everyone will sit behind the computer screen, will go and try and get a degree, which is fine. It's admirable. I did it. You know what I mean? You go read a book and do all that kind of stuff, which is great. But there are people out there that need you. Yeah. So actually go out to where the action is and just try and start a conversation. Yeah. Like that's honestly how we started this.
Be on the front line.
That's it. We started it by starting conversations.
Are there any people who might have it in principle that they want to do that, but really they're not about that life, you know? How do you recognize that? Because you said for you, if you know you can relate to the youth.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know if you can't or you can? Do you know what I mean? What is those markers?
Young people are some of the, and I say young people, I am young. I'm just going to put that out there.
How old are you, do you mind me asking?
I'm 25. Jeez! So I'm not, listen.
My man's smashing it.
I'm young. But if you're trying to come and speak to a young person from that perspective, I want to help you, automatically there's going to be that whole, but you don't know what it's like now, because if you're past 20, you're old.
Right.
I'm in my teens, you're not living the life I'm living. And you're always going to have that. Knowing how to relate is being real, because young people can always tell. I've actually realized this. Every place that I've worked, every place that I've gone to, if I've brought in a guest, and this is not, shout out to all the guests that have come through from Bridge the Gap. But like, if I bring in somebody and it's like, they're not being real, or they're not just being open, or so, you'll see young people start to switch off. Mm. And a lot of the time it's just like, you don't have to have the most gruesome, crazy story about I went through this, I did it. No, just come and listen. This is what I've dealt with. This is what I'm about now. This is the advice that I can give to you. And here's the proof.
Yeah.
Just bring in that realness.
Okay. So I hear that. And I'm very conscious of our time, guys. So I'm going to kind of wrap it up a bit. Is there anything that you think from an audience perspective would be quite nice for them to know additionally if they wanted to start getting into community work?
Yeah. There's... There's a lot of things that you can do to actually get involved. There's one of the biggest things I think that I did. One of the biggest things that I did last year is I went and paid to get myself qualified as an arts award deliverer, as an arts award.
What's that?
Modulator. Basically, it's it allows you to be able to deliver projects for young people in the arts that can actually get them an equivalent qualification.
You're an accreditated.
Yes.
Arts practitioner. Yeah. So if someone went through your course, then they get a qualification.
Yeah. I mean, because we had people that were accredited beforehand, because we actually run an arts award as part of what our programs. So we help our young people get qualified in a music or drama, because we work with different studios around South London.
Okay. Amazing.
So we actually take them over to studio. They make their own music projects. They do all that stuff as part of the program. And they got a qualification.
Amazing.
So we had people that we were paying. One of the biggest things that I've learned is don't pay if you can learn how to do it yourself.
Right.
Or to paraphrase, learn how to do things yourself. Like, that's one of the biggest things I've learned. So I went out, paid, got myself qualified. So now I can deliver that. And that's just one thing. Like that's something that people can actually do. Like, if you have...
And did I have to pay to go in this course?
Yeah, you pay to go on it, and then once you've got it, you've got it. Then you can deliver it with any Arts Awards Centre or anywhere. And that's you, if you actually want to give back and do something, that's a way to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
There's training that you can go on. There's a company that we signed up with, London Youth.
London Youth.
And they actually deliver training for organisations and individuals.
Okay.
And so we've worked with them. They actually look for training within London for those that work in London, obviously.
Oh, amazing.
And yeah, there's a whole bunch, there's a whole host of other things I could go through and list
guys,
them.
Then we might have to just go. But, is it on Bridge the Gap Studios? Maybe the resource section.
In terms of like working with us, yeah, hit us up, because we really do want to get as many people that are passionate about it, because we've got a lot of young people that are actually working with us now. That's another thing. When they've come through the program, they can work with us, and we've got people we've hired. But if you actually want to work with us and get the training for free, then come through.
Yeah.
But 100%. Yeah, there's all of that.
I'm definitely coming through, and I'm not just blown smoke up your ass.
Yeah. Hey, well, listen. Well, if he's attempting to, I'm gonna be back. Yeah. And we're gonna. I'll let you guys know.
So, I normally finish with my guests like quick fire round questions.
Wow.
So, you ready for this?
Yikes. Okay. How many questions have I got?
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll figure it out.
Okay. But, okay. Cool.
The answers. Ideally, if you can make them quick, that'd be brilliant. So it's one of those that you don't think too hard about it.
Damn. Let's go.
Yeah. You ready? If you could do a TED talk other than your actual profession and what it is you do for a living, what would it be on?
Fatherhood.
Fatherhood. Okay, that's interesting. Why?
Oh, because I'm a father.
Oh, you're a father. How are you going to drop that at the end, you know? That man drops that at the end.
Hey, listen.
I was like, wow.
You guys need to, hey.
We'll have to bring you back on part three then, didn't it?
I know it's quick fire questions, but my son saved my life, man. Facts. Okay. Not in terms of giving a TED talk like, oh, I know all this stuff about fatherhood, but just navigating and learning in the ups and downs, the early stuff. I'd talk for days about my kid.
Okay, amazing. Yeah. So you had last £5, what you spending it on? Your last ever £5.
All right, £5, that's it. And after that, I'm broke.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm broke now because I only got £5 on my name. But after that, I'm okay, cool. £5. I'd buy a good book.
A good
book. I'm messing with you. I'd buy food. I'd buy food because I'm going to eat. I'm hungry.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Since this is Black Articulate, which is Black Action Articulated, well, what's your favorite English word?
My favorite English word.
That man knows this is quick fire round questions. I'm
going with it. Plethora.
Plethora.
I love that word. I don't know why. I just throw it out there just in random, at least once a day. Yeah. I have to say it. So this is my one a day.
I love it. Plethora. Nice.
It's one of the bougie words, man.
Yeah, that's nice. Real quick. It's nice. And before I ask you the final question, so the penultimate question, it's all about paying it forward, right? So any UK black-owned businesses that you use, be it a service or product, that you want to give a shout out to? I know that's difficult for quick fire, so maybe I might put that in a segment earlier on or something.
Yeah, there is a lot. I've put down a couple of them, but there's so obviously Guap Magazine.
Guap Magazine, yeah,
love those guys. And the work that they do. Simon A. Max, a good friend of mine, he has a radio station called Street Levels.
Okay.
Which is amazing. So we tune into that, we check it out. Who else? Oh my gosh.
All right, there's loads.
There's a lot to get into, but yeah.
And I guess the last but not least question before we find out how we can get in touch with you and when we do what you want us to do is, how would you, Mr. Martins, Sion Martins, am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's my name. Sion Martins. There's a T in it, but it's silent, so you got it.
Sion Martins. Imagine if I hadn't got it all throughout this convo.
No, I would have let off the jump. Put some respect on my name.
Best believe. Sion Martins, how would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as somebody who inspires others.
Amazing. Honestly, just from your story, and I'm very grateful for the fact that you've actually come on this platform and blessed me.
Honestly,
it's been a pleasure. And I'm already inspired, and I promise you this, we will definitely hopefully collaborate and work together.
Can't wait.
Like this year, without a shadow of a doubt. So how can we get in touch with you on the World Wide Web?
Yeah.
And when we do, what would you like us to do? How can we support? How can we just make Bridge the Gap Studios bigger and better?
All right. So we are on Twitter. BTG Studios 1. That's our Twitter. And then on Insta, Bridge the Gap Studios, all together. So yeah, you can find us on there. Just check us out. Like, comment. If you want to work with us or, you know, be a part of the movement in any way, there's a lot of ways to do that. If you have access to like your local communities, so community centers, if they want like programs, because we do a lot of the work for community centers, we just run that for them. Or if you're in touch with schools that need programs that work with young people, specifically around mindset work and just prevention, which is one of our biggest things now, working with younger students around prevention education, so that we don't have statistics, but we have leaders. That's what we really want to build up. So if you have connection with any like schools and communities, reach out to them, reach out to us. If you can put us in connection, that's amazing. But mainly just follow, like, check us out. And yeah, you check out our website, bridgethegapstudios.com. And if you need to hit us up, there's an email there as well.
So, amazing. Yeah. Sion, thank you very much for gracing us on Black Hey guys, we really appreciate you listening, and if you have any feedback, please leave it in the comment section below. Also, all the info about the guests, the links and the resources we speak about will be in the description below. And last but not least, please, please, please do get in touch if you can teach us how you do what it is you do. Because after all, Blacktickulate is all about empowering and upskilling the community. Thanks guys, you're the best. See you soon.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.